The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Good. Lots of energy in the room. That's always good. I like that when I get up to speak. Well, this is it. This is the last message in our series. And this message this morning pretty much kind of capsulizes all of what we talked about over the last several months. How long have we been in this series, Jerry? Are you keeping track? This is how well we plan out our series. We don't even know. It's just we've never not been in this series. Now this, you know what? The thing that's so incredible about this series is that how often do you get a direct assignment from God, where God says, "This is exactly what I want you to do," and it's like perfectly clear. There's no cloudiness, there's no confusion, it's exactly what God is calling us to do. And that's what this series was, and that's what this message will continue to be. And we hope that it won't stop here. We hope that you'll go back and you'll review some of the thoughts and some of the things that we talked about. It really is foundational. And this morning, although this passage might be familiar to some of you, you may have read this before. You may have even sang it as a kid. We're not going to do that this morning. Jerry started to last week. But this passage may be familiar, but I'm hoping that this morning that we will be able to draw some truth out of this that maybe you've never seen before. Maybe you'll see it from a different angle, and God will just ignite this whole thought in your heart. And so let's pray. Let's ask God just to open our eyes and really to show us some things this morning, because I know He wants to. It's just a matter of whether we're ready to receive it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning on the last of our message of our series, and God, knowing that you have spoken to us all along the way, and asking God this morning that you would continue to do that. Father, we have learned some things that are just foundational, some things that are just life-changing. And God, we want to have our lives changed by you. We want to be people that resemble you and that are more and more like you. And so, God, I pray that we would take all these things we've heard and that we would live them, God. It wouldn't just be something we listen to, but it would be something that we actually live. And Father, as we discuss that whole idea this morning, we ask that you would help us to take these thoughts with us and throughout our week, God, throughout the months to come, and throughout our lives, God, that we would honor you by living the things that we hear. Thanks, Father, and I just pray that this morning as I speak that these words would be your words, God. Teach us some things this morning. We'll pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, right now, I was counting them this morning. I have three disobedient persons in my home. Two of them being my dogs, Abbott and Sammy. They hardly ever do what I say. They love Debbie, and, you know, she tells them to do something, and they're, you know, all happy to do it. I tell them to do something, they just kind of look at me over their shoulder, like, who's this guy? Who put this guy in charge? And so I've got two dogs that won't obey me. And then I have my son, Josiah, who loves me with all his heart, but his favorite thing to do is to do exactly the opposite of what I want him to do. And his newest thing right now is going to the flower pot in the entryway. And he thinks there's something in there for him, buried in there, maybe. I don't know. He's going to find it eventually, because as much potting soil as he scooped out of that thing, this morning he was back at it again. Literally, how many times a day? 3-4 times a day. You can't take your eyes off this kid for a second because he starts to crawl. And then he does that thing where he's crawling towards the flower pot. He's kind of looking around, making sure no one's... And then if he hears footsteps, or we say, Josiah, he starts crawling faster. He wants to get to that thing. I told Debbie we need to have a sandbox for him. It's actually going to be an indoor sandbox. So we already have that. So we'll have to try something different. But the three disobedient people in my house, and I was thinking about this message and thinking about how we've learned a lot of things. God has shown us a lot of things. And we really have a choice. We have a choice of following and doing the things that God's laid out for us, or our other choice is disobedience. Now, unfortunately, we can't plead ignorance, which is always nice. When I was a teenager, my favorite answer to give my parents when they asked me a question was, I don't know. They would say, why did you do that? I don't know. Where's your brother? I don't know. Who's buried in the backyard? I don't know. You know, that was always the right answer growing up. And so we can't plead ignorance. We can't say to God, oh, God, I did not know that. Because fortunately, we've been given the truth, and God has laid it out for us. And so for that reason, we're without excuse. And so our only two choices are obedience or disobedience. And so kind of a tough choice to make. There's some big costs on both sides. You are obedient to God, and it means that you deny yourself many times. You're disobedient to God, and there's consequences to face because of that. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. So the title of my message is Solid Rock or Shifting Sand. And the whole idea here that Jesus is presenting to his disciples is there's two foundations you can lay for yourself, one being the solid rock and the other being the shifting sand, and it's our choice. Obedience or disobedience. So let's look at this passage, Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Jesus closes out his message to his disciples by saying, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So Jesus ends everything that he shared with these disciples sitting there on the mountaintop as his followers sat at his feet and kind of scattered around the mountaintop. Jesus ends everything that he shared with them with this illustration. Verses 24 and 25. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. I remember a few years ago, they were having a terrible time. Where was it? Up in the Malibu area, where they were having some houses that had been built on kind of some cliffs by the beach there. And there was some rain, and it had kind of eroded out some of the foundation of that area. And so there was houses that were actually sliding off of that cliff or sliding. And beautiful view. I mean, you know, these people paid millions and millions of dollars to have these houses built, and then all of a sudden, no one wants to live in these houses because they're starting to slide off. Here's the idea here, that a person who is hearing what God has to say and is doing those things is like a person who has chosen a strong, solid foundation. And so the first thing I want you to take with you this morning is a wise person hears and applies God's word. A wise person hears and applies God's word. Okay, but you need to understand something here. There's two parts to this. There's the hearing of God's word, and then there's the application of God's word. And I dare say that so many people who call themselves followers of Jesus or would call themselves Christians are really good at hearing God's word. And maybe they don't just hear it on Sunday. Maybe throughout the week they might tune into the radio station, Christian radio, and might be listening to God's word being proclaimed throughout the week. And so maybe it's something that is just kind of a part of their life. It's part of a habit where they're listening to God's word. But how often do we take the things that we hear and we look for ways to apply those things to our daily living? That's what God wants us to do. That's the reason that he gave us this. He didn't give us this just so that we would have something to do on Sundays, or he didn't just give us this so that people would have something to study. He gave us this so that we could actually take the things in it and apply them to our lives, to actually live out the truths that are given to us in God's Word. So there's two parts. There's hearing and applying. And if you're really good at listening to God's Word, but you're not very good at applying God's Word, you're not a wise person. And your foundation is not going to be solid. I would put it like this: the life of a person who not only listens to God's instruction, but also acts upon it, is built on a solid foundation. So not just listening, but actually acting on the things that you hear. I mean, what good is it to receive instruction if you're not going to follow it? And here's the incredible thing is that we're good at receiving instruction and kind of doing things the way that the instructions tell us to. Some of us are. Have you ever opened something up, taken it out of the box, and you're trying to figure out how it goes together, and there's a little booklet in there or a slip of paper that says, here's steps A, B, C, and D. And I remember when we were putting together our cabinets in our kitchen, and everything was labeled, and all the little screws and bolts, and everything had like a letter or a number assigned to it. And so if I followed the directions and I lined up the things on the diagram with the actual things that I had, then things came out nice. But if I didn't do that, and there was a couple times where I'd gotten used to putting a cabinet together, and so I go to put together the next cabinet, and I'm thinking, I don't need to look at the directions, but this one happened to be just a little bit different. And I get down to where I've got some extra parts. And I'm like, what are these for? So then I got to go find what letter and what number they apply to and figure out what happened. So many times we take God's instruction and we will maybe live out part of what we hear, and maybe we'll be real selective in what part of the instructions we're going to participate in. Does that kind of make sense? And so we'll take one part and we'll say, God, I can do that. I can live that out. But when something seems just a little bit tricky or something seems like it's going to be kind of a big sacrifice on our part, we tend to ignore that, or we tend to forget about that. And Jesus has just laid out for his followers some pretty tough things to follow after. I mean, you guys have been here throughout the series. You've heard the issues that Jesus has brought up and the things that he's been talking about. And he basically, time after time, as he laid these things out for his followers, was implying there's really no two ways about it. This is the way you have to live if you're going to be called a follower of mine. If you're going to take on my name, you've got to do these things. And so God is not looking for a Christian who is really good at following a part of God's law. He's looking for the person who would say, God, I want to do everything you've asked me to do. I want to follow it all. I'm going to quote a lot from the book of James because I love what James has to say about doing what God says. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Sometimes we feel like we're getting away with something when in reality what we're doing is we're actually poisoning ourselves. We're actually creating for ourselves more difficulty down the road. James 2:18, now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Now that you know these things. It's one of those deals where maybe you didn't know it before, but now that you do know it, all of a sudden you're responsible and you're accountable for the things that are written down here. But check it out. I mean, here, the results of living a life that's following after the principles that God's laid down are what? Having an incredibly solid foundation. And sure, Jesus is using an illustration here, and he's saying a person that does it is like a guy who would build a house on a rock. But think about that. What he's really saying is that when those storms come, when those difficult times in your life come, those things that are unexpected, that are going to be the thing that might eat away at your life, if your foundation is solid, you're not going anywhere. But you have to not only listen, you have to also apply the things that God's given you. Let's look back at verse 26. Here's the flip side. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. I remember as a kid going to the beach, and my mom loved to take us to the beach. She just absolutely loved the beach. Matter of fact, we always joke about Thanksgiving at the beach just because that's weird to me. But I remember so many Thanksgivings where I'm eating my turkey and it's really crunchy because there's sand. Somehow someone kicked sand on my food or something. But we used to love to go down to the beach. And one of the things we really loved to do was to build sandcastles. And you try as a kid to plan out, you know, how far you're going to be from the water. Okay, and so you've got your distance from where the tide is going to be all mapped out. But it never fails. You always build your sandcastle too close to the water. Every time. And so you're right in the middle of doing something else. You've got your masterpiece there, your beautiful creation. You walk away from it. You get busy doing something else. And all of a sudden, you notice the waves are coming in. And so you rush over there. You're like, we've got to build a wall. We've got to do something to fortify this. And so you start digging like a moat or whatever, and you're trying to save your sandcastle. Have you done that before? Some people will live their entire lives like that because their foundation is being eroded by the fact that they're not applying the things that God's given them. And so they're trying all these other measures and they're going to great lengths to try to preserve what they have because it's so valuable to them. But if only they would have realized that if they would have been following God's rules and they would have been living the way God was asking them to live, they wouldn't be floundering. A foolish person listens but does not obey. A foolish person listens but does not obey. Let me say this. The life of a person who hears God's instruction but does not act upon it is characterized by instability. We don't want our lives to be characterized by instability. We want to think about our futures as being stable. We don't even want to think as far as our future. We want our present life, what we're involved in right now, to be stable. Nobody wants their world to come crashing down. But the reality is, and I say the reality because Jesus is speaking the truth to his followers, and he's saying, guys, if you're not doing the things that I'm asking you to do, you're building your life on a bad foundation. You're building your life on shifting sands. You're setting yourself up for a fall. But why would we do that? Why is it so... Maybe it's a whole thing about taking shortcuts. Anybody take shortcuts when you drive? Would anybody actually go out of their way to try to take a shortcut? I've done that before. Matter of fact, there's a particular stoplight where they tore down a building, and so now there's an empty lot next to the stoplight. And when I'm in a hurry, I'm starting to pull up to that stoplight, and I'll take a little shortcut, and I'll go down a dirt road, and you know, it's all bumpy and the van's bouncing all over the place and sometimes there's a tractor in the way and, you know, all these obstacles. But I'm thinking, this is a shortcut. I'm going to be able to beat the light. And so I get down to the edge and all of a sudden I get to the next intersection and all the cars that were in front of me are passing me. I'm like, oh, man, shortcut failed again. But nevertheless, I will try that shortcut again. Matter of fact, probably Monday. We take shortcuts. We do things that are easier on ourselves, and the reality is we're destroying the foundation. The reality is that what we could be building up that's solid and that's going to last, we're building something that when stressful times come, when the storms come, it's going to collapse. And I love how he says, with a mighty crash. I've had times where something has fallen apart and literally in my brain I can hear a crashing noise. And I'm telling myself, wow, I really screwed that up. Have you done that before? Have you reached that point in your life where it just started crashing down and you realized, wow, if I would have done the right things and if I would have taken the right steps and if I would have taken the time to apply the things that I already knew. And here's the thing, God only holds you accountable for the things that you know. God holds you responsible for the things that you know that are true about him. the things that you know he wants you to do, those are the things that God holds you accountable for. So, I mean, there may be 100 other things that you don't know that God wants you to be doing right now, but the fact that you don't know them, that's okay. You're going to learn those things eventually, but the things that you do know, those are the things you need to be applying to your life. I can't even tell you the number of times I've sat in my office and someone has come in and said, hey, this is what's happening, this is what's happening. And I say, well, okay, are you doing this or are you doing that? Oh, no. Well, this is just the very basic things that God's calling us to do. And if we're just doing the very basics, then we've got to trust and have enough faith and confidence in him that he's going to work everything out. You know, here's the thing. God is the one that actually is building our foundation. I don't know if you realize that, but the work that we do for God, we do it because we're empowered by him. And as you're empowered by God to do those things, it's actually God working through you. And so having God work through you is less labor intensive than you going out and doing it yourself. But you're not going to know that until you try. You're not going to know that until you begin to do that and you make that your lifestyle. James 4:17, I told you I was going to quote a lot from James. He says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. So we've talked a lot about that during this series about sin, the sin of omission, where you're not doing something that you know you're supposed to be doing. And I'm afraid that that is the thing that gets us into trouble the most. You're not spending time in prayer. That's something that you know God wants from you. God wants to have a relationship with you, and the way that God has set that relationship up is that you would pray to him, and he would speak to you through his word. That's simple. That's foundational. That's the very basics. And if that's not happening, you're doing wrong. James describes a person that's not doing that in James 1:8. He says their loyalty is divided between God and the world. And here again, they're unstable in everything they do. You see how not applying the things that you hear makes your life unstable? See, God is calling us to have lives that are stable, to have lives that are built on a strong foundation. That's the calling that God has on each and every one of your lives. But the only way to do that is to actually take the things that he's taught us and apply those things to your life. Take the truths and take the principles from God's word and live them out. And that's building the foundation. Let's look back at verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. I'm fascinated by these last two verses because, okay, you kind of would want to gloss over them because it's just basically saying Jesus was done talking, people were impressed. But I looked a little closer at it and I realized that it's not just saying Jesus was done speaking, it's saying that when Jesus finished speaking, the people just sat there with their mouths open because they had a realization. They realized that Jesus wasn't just reading something to them. Jesus wasn't just rolling open a scroll and sharing what he had in front of him. Jesus was taking the truth of God's word, the literal truth of God's word, and he was revealing it to them. But he wasn't just sharing it, he was doing it with authority. And so it all comes down to this. Do you believe in the authority that Jesus has? Number three is a wise person recognizes Jesus' authority. A wise person recognizes Jesus' authority. And I'll put it this way. When we recognize the authority of God's instruction, we have no choice but to respond in obedience. My friends, it all comes down to whether or not you recognize Christ's authority over you. Do you recognize that Jesus has the right to tell you what to do? That's the question here. Does Jesus have the right to tell you what to do? Because if you believe that Jesus has authority in your life, you're going to do what he says. But if you believe that Jesus doesn't have the right to tell you what to do, You're going to do your own thing. Did I make that simple enough? If you believe that Jesus has authority and that what he's saying are the things that you have to do, you're going to live it. You're going to do it. It all comes down to the authority that Jesus has in your life. It's simple, but yet it's so easy for us to dismiss it. Do you believe Jesus has a right to tell you what to do? These people were sitting there, and as they were listening to Jesus, they realized, this is not just some teacher. This is not just some guy that's opened the Bible or the scriptures and began sharing. This is the guy that wrote the book. This is the guy that came up with all this. Jesus actually is the Word of God. The Bible tells us that. God's Word is our authority. Jesus is our authority. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus has the right to tell you what to do? If you do, why aren't you living like that? And I'm not just asking you guys a question. I'm not just saying, yeah, you answer me. I'm asking that to all people that would call themselves followers of Jesus, including myself. If I believe that Jesus has authority to tell me what to do, then why am I not doing what Jesus is asking me to do? It must be because I don't really believe. So it really all comes back to what you believe about God. If you believe that if you kept going in one direction, you were going to fall off a cliff, if you honestly, with all your heart, believe that, would you keep going that way? No, you'd say to yourself, I believe I'm going to die if I keep going that way, and so I'm going to stop, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to go the other direction. And so I'm convinced that if you truly believe Jesus has a right to tell you what to do, you're going to do what he says. And if you don't do what he says, what you're really saying is, Jesus, you don't have authority over me. You don't have the right. Now, this is tough because Jesus shared a lot of stuff with us throughout this manifesto. He's poured out a lot of stuff that we need to really examine our lives and make sure that we're living the way he's laid out. And if we're not, it's a reflection on what we believe about his authority. Do you see how it all comes down to whether or not Jesus is someone who has authority in your life? That's what it comes down to. Where do we get the authoritative truth of God? We get it from his word. This is where Jesus laid it all down for us, and this is what we have. And so let me share with you a couple verses. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Incredible verses. I'm reading it from the message, but I encourage you guys to even commit these scriptures to memory because it's just an incredible description of God's word. It says, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's foundational, right? I mean, this is how we know that we can have forgiveness and can live for eternity with God. It's given to us in God's word. And we believe that. And so we ask God for forgiveness and we begin a relationship with him. But it's after that it begins to break down. Because he goes on and says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. It's the authority of God's Word. Is God's Word an authority in your life? Is this a book that you live by? Or is this a book that every once in a while gets opened and somebody shares something with you about it? You know, it's almost like it's a seasonal thing. You know, once a week someone opens it up and says, hey, I found something really cool that God said. Check it out. It shouldn't be that way. This should be the authority in our lives at all times. James 1:25, but whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Pretty cool verse. I love it because it says you don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to know every single thing that God has for you. But what you do know, you need to be applying to your life. Even if it's something you notice out of the corner of your eye, it's something that needs to be a part of your life. So it all comes back to that question. Does Jesus have the right to tell you what to do? And if you believe that, why aren't you doing it? So, I mean, Jeremiah, I got to go back through and listen to this podcast and get all this stuff down so that... Now, you know what it means? It means that you yourself need to take your own Bible and you need to open it up and pray, God, show me how you want me to live. And my friend, that is a prayer that he will answer every time. God will show you exactly what he wants you to do and how he wants you to live. But when you hear it, when you read it, you got to do it because God holds you responsible. He holds you accountable for the truth that he gives you. I would invite you guys, you know, this is the end of our series, but it's not the end of following after the directives that Jesus laid down for us. It's only the beginning because now we've got all the information. And not even all the information. I mean, this is just the sermon that Jesus shared with his followers on a mountaintop. So it's not even everything God wants us to know. But I'll tell you what, it's a grand start. If you would just take these principles, these things we've covered. Because within the Sermon on the Mount, God has even said, everything else in my word is built on these principles that are shared in this message. And so my invitation to you guys would be explore that for yourself. Really, truly find out what it is that God wants you to do. Find out the life that God wants you to live. And then live it. Live the life that he's called you to live. That's if you believe that he has a right to tell you what to do. If he doesn't have the right to tell you what to do, live your own life. Do your own thing. Build your house. But, my friend, the truth of the matter is you're going to be building on sand. You're going to be building on an unstable foundation. So your choice is a solid rock or shifting sand. What's it going to be? It all comes down to obedience. Let's pray. Father, so many times take lightly what you tell us. God, you've given us the truth of your word. And we may not know everything, but we know enough. We know enough about how to live this life to build a rock-solid foundation. And so, God, I pray that at the end of this series wouldn't just be a time where we move on, God, but it would be a time where we re-examine our lives. We look back at the things that you want us to do and we ask ourselves, do you have the right to tell us that? And if you do, help me, God, to live it. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I've experienced what it's like to try to do things on my own. I've built a house on sand. The rain, the floods came, and the wind beat against that house, and it just collapsed. Maybe that's you this morning. But the incredible thing is, you don't have to continue to live that way. Aren't we fortunate that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth? And every time we mess up, God's calling us to come back to Him. So I'd invite you this morning as we sing this song, really let it be a prayer from your heart. Because the authority of God's Word should touch every area of our life. And if it's not touching an area of your life, it's because you're not letting it. And if you're not letting it, it's because you don't believe it. So let's pray that God would strengthen our faith in Him. And that we would give Him the proper place in our life. Father, do that in our lives. Not just this morning in this moment, God, but tomorrow when these things are not as fresh in our minds. God, give us a thirst for your word. Give us a desire to please you and to find out what pleases you. And Father, I know that we're going to mess up and we're going to make mistakes, God, but I would pray that as we strive to build on a rock-solid foundation, God, that it would be you doing the work through us. Thank you, Father. You're an amazing God, and I pray that we would live in a way that shows others that.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.